Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
Meteor shower incoming.
We have a meteor shower. Meteor shower.
Capcom, come in. Capcom, come in.
Guys, just stay calm. We believe the orbiter can survive the meteor shower.
I believe we have a leak.
Okay, pressure's going down. This is bad.
Fantasy, what do we do?
Get them out of here.
No!
We're dead.
Well, thankfully, no one is actually dead, because that was a team of teenagers simulating a landing on the surface of Mars, dealing in real time with everything that could go wrong in a manned Mars mission. That scene is from the film The Mars Generation, a documentary about a class of teenagers at the U.S. Space and Rocket Center in Huntsville, Alabama, a.k.a. Space Camp, who are imagining and training for going to Mars someday. Now, one person with a very unique view on this is Sunita Williams. She has served as the commander of the International Space Station. She spent a total of 322 days in space and has logged 50 hours, 40 minutes doing spacewalks. She's featured in the Mars Generation film, which is playing this Sunday at the Woods Hole Film Festival, and she joins us now. Sunita Williams, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, Meghna. It's really good to be here with you.
I am almost uncontrollably excited to talk to you, so it is great to have you. So tell me, first of all, what do you make of the film The Mars Generation, and how optimistic are you that someday, rather soon, we will be sending a manned mission to Mars?
Well, that opening scene is a little scary, and that would be a really bad day. But aside for that part, the rest of the film, I got a chance to take a look at it, is really pretty cool. You know, we're here, and it's going to be here in Woods Hole at the film festival, in a really great place where there's a lot of science in this area. So it's cool to think and talk about it, and I think it's going to happen before long. You know, we're on that path with the Commercial Crew program and then the Orion SLS program for NASA. And so we're getting there. And I think it's almost a reality, or going to be a reality. It's touchable reality for the kids who are in high school and younger. So I'm excited for them, and hopefully we'll have made a good path for them to get there.
Yeah, I mean, and NASA has been given a challenge to send humans to Mars by 2030, or at least in the 2030s. So that's actually not that far away. You talk to a lot of young people who have their sights set on the cosmos. And I presume that you tell them your own story. I mean, how is it that you became an astronaut? And was it always something you dreamed of?
Oh, for me, no. It was a little bit of a slightly happenstance and a lot of good luck. And just, you know, I think a little perseverance. You know, I wanted to be a veterinarian.
Really?
Yeah, I really wanted to be a veterinarian and go to school in this wonderful city. Didn't quite work out that way, and ended up joining the Navy as a suggestion of my big brother, which was really awesome, actually. And I didn't realize it at the time, but provided a lot of leadership and followership, teamwork opportunities, and led me down the path to be a helicopter pilot and a test pilot. And that sort of was the shoe in the door to making me understand that, hey, things are possible. And I got down to NASA at Johnson Space Center and realized I could do the things that those guys are doing, like anybody can if they have that opportunity and take it.
Yeah, and let me just say, you probably could do them and have done them better, because there are very few people on planet Earth who can say they've commanded a mission on the International Space Station.
Yeah, I'm pretty lucky. That was very, very awesome. A huge responsibility. But, you know, I think just like in the movie The Martian, you take one step at a time. You don't look at the big problem all together, because I think it's a little intimidating. So you just take it one day at a time, you know, meet the people that are going to work with you, for you, and you're going to work for, and really try to do the best job that you can. And I think that's all teamwork, and that's what space travel's about.
Yeah, I mean, and you have so much experience on these missions. 322 days in space, more than 50 hours on spacewalks. I mean, let me just ask you about that. What is it like being up there?
A little scary at times when it's only your visor between you and the outside, you know, not so nice area of space where there's no air to breathe, a vacuum that's really hot, really cold. So that's scary, but you take it, like, again, one step at a time. You know, you have a lot of things to do when you're out on a spacewalk, and that sort of overwhelms your mind. Like, I got to get this test done and this test done, but you can't help every now and then stopping and looking where you are and watching the world whiz by you and just go, whoa. But okay, never mind. Just keep working. You know, it's an incredible view, incredible place to work. And that's the culmination of a huge team of people making it happen for the astronauts who are out there doing the job.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate the fact that you said that it is a little scary because, I mean, you are there out there in the vacuum and the blackness of space. But like you said, you have this great team. And I was wondering if you could tell us this story, because I was reading about how on a spacewalk, an 8-hour spacewalk you had to do once, there was a really important component or something that you and your fellow astronaut had to fix, and it involved using a toothbrush to do the final repair.
Yeah, the long spacewalk, unfortunately, we had a little bit of a surprise. It was essentially a humongous circuit breaker panel, probably about 3 foot by 3 foot big square rectangle box. And the bolt, which is pretty big for that size of a box, got a little bit stripped on the way in, unbeknownst to us. And so when we were taking it out, of course, there was more metal shavings. And again, the bolt is stripped. So we figured that out when we got the old box out and we were putting the new one in, and that's when we were having the problem. You know, it's just sort of like when you have the plug halfway in, though, you could have that electricity transfer across, which is not so good. So we had to undo it altogether, which took up like the most of the 8-hour spacewalk. And then the second spacewalk after that, we got tools together. Well, you can't just go to the store, you know, and get tools. So you had to make your own tools to figure out how to clean this thing. My husband was giving me a hard time. He said, why don't you have, you know, bore cleaners or things like that up there? I'm like, well, we don't usually do that. So we had to get the toothbrush, put it essentially on an extension and a big ratchet, because we ended up doing this by hand ratcheting versus using the mechanical tools that we have to install the bolt so you could feel where the cross-setting was happening. So, yeah, we made a bunch of tools inside in between two spacewalks. We went outside and we were able to clean up the bolt, fix it all up, and get it installed. A little bit of, you know, elbow grease and muscle versus using the tools, but that's okay.
Wow. And, okay, so just hearing you describe it, it's exhilarating. But then I also have to remind myself that you were in a spacesuit, right? So it's not like you had, the full dexterity of your hands, right? Because I've heard that whenever you even have to move your fingers inside the glove of a spacesuit, you're pushing against the material of the glove just to move your finger.
Oh, yeah. Your hands are a little bit tired when you get done with all of this. It feels like you're hitting your fingers, your tips of your fingers on like a hard board for about 6 hours because the gloves are just hard with the pressure differential, you know, with the vacuum outside and the, you know, 4.5 PSI on the inside. So, yeah, your hands take a beating. And, you know, every now and then when you're working and you want to use two hands, you want to hold something in your teeth, well, you can't do that. You got your helmet there. So you have to be a little bit careful about where you're putting everything and make sure everything is tethered and nothing flies away. So there's a little bit of a constant mental process whenever you're using tools or working on equipment outside.
So what, from your experience, being in Earth orbit, what has that taught you about what you think the biggest challenges that future Mars astronauts are going to face? I mean, of course, there's the enormous technical challenge of putting humans on another planet. But what about, I guess one of the more interesting things coming out of the International Space Station is, did you feel psychological challenges being up there for such a long period of time?
Well, sure, because it is, you are away from home and you do miss your family and your friends. And of course, I missed my dog because I couldn't see him when I was up there. But that was not so bad because we had the ability to call home. We actually had the ability to have video conferences on the weekend. So I even got to see my dog on the weekend. But, you know, when you take, but we're close to Earth and we only have like a half a second of delay or so when we're talking. But when you start taking that trip and you're going to be going to Mars, you're going to have a long delay and you're not going to be able to have those instant conversations. You're going to need to know how to fix things without calling home to ask how to do it, you know. So there's going to be a lot of different challenges for that crew, and that crew needs to know that they'll be gone for a long time. I mean, I knew I would be gone for 6 months and maybe a little bit more. Like the folks right now, Peggy Whitson's up there, going to be up there for almost 9 months, and it's fun, it's great, but you need to go into this knowing that you might be gone for, you know, a year and a half or so, and you're going to have to sort of let things go. You're not going to be able to text to your friends and family like people are used to doing here. It's going to take a little while to get that communication back and forth.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to fully disclose something. I went to space camp myself as a high school student, and it was like the best week of my life. That was back when I thought I was going to be an astronaut, but I didn't make the cut for a number of reasons.
Keep trying. We'll have more application processes coming up, so keep trying.
I think several knee injuries and, you know, impending decrepitude are going to make me not qualify for the future astronaut corps, but I love your motivation here. But I say that because I grew up at a time where, you know, NASA was... it was sending regular missions up on the shuttle, and we were sort of at this heyday, this golden age of manned and womaned missions, I should say, to space. And it was being done through NASA. But now, you know, the discussion and the efforts for a manned Mars mission are going to also rely on the private sector as well. And sometimes I still feel an internal conflict about that, because it sort of it takes away the public-spirited dreaminess of saying, like, we as a nation are going to do this. When you bring in the private sector to these kind of efforts, I mean, am I being too cynical about that?
I would say maybe, yeah, because I think this is all a partnership. You know, there's been so much technology that's transpired over the last 20 or 30 years, and it's time to move that into the spacecraft. And who else can really better do that than, you know, the technology gurus out there? And that's the people who have been working in some of these companies. And we're really excited to see what their innovative ideas bring to the table when they create these spacecraft. You know, they're going to solve the problem for us for low Earth orbit, which means going to the International Space Station and delivering people. And we're going to watch how they're doing it. We're going to take some lessons learned. And NASA, that frees up NASA to work on exploration. The thing that we all want to do is get out of low Earth orbit and go farther, you know, so we can figure out how to really solve that problem to go to Mars. And that's what the Orion and the SLS Space Launch System program are all about. So, you know, we have a lot on our plate, but we're working hand in hand with these companies so we can leverage information and technology off each other. I think it's really good. And, you know, my personal opinion, Sunny Williams, I think when we really leave the planet, you know, we ought to go as humans, not just people from one country or another. We are humans. We work together. This is our only planet as human beings that we know. So we all should have an interest in preserving it.
Yeah. What do you think about the idea of space tourism? I mean, that's being talked about more seriously with each passing day.
You know, I think it's great. You know, if we can, these companies can get out there and they can lower the price for folks to go to space, that's just going to enhance, you know, space travel, make it safer. You know, we've gone through this type of evolution with aircraft, and aircraft are pretty darn safe. You know, we joke around that one day, you know, we'll have a space station on the moon, and, you know, the tourists up there will be going, you know, where's my spacecraft to get me home? It's 10 minutes late, just like we do when we're standing in the airline line there waiting to board our aircraft. So I think, you know, it's a good thing. It's progress. It's evolution. You know, we're gonna make it all happen.
Yeah.
And I think this next generation of kids in high school and younger, we got to set the stage for them, and they're going to make it happen.
I could literally talk to you for an entire hour, but I'm afraid I'm running out of time. So I want to ask you just one last thing, though. What is the most amazing thing you've ever seen or witnessed up there in space?
There's so many things to say, but just something that folks can tag on to is probably the aurora. You know, watching the aurora from above is pretty spectacular. You know, we live up here in the north, and we go sometimes up to see our northern neighbors where we can see the aurora at night and stuff, and see it above you, and it's cool. But when you see it from above looking down below and see that energy hitting the earth, it's spectacular. And you gotta wonder at that point in time, you know, there's a lot of energy out there in the universe that we have no idea of how to even capture it or use it. And, we think of our problems here on Earth are a little slim compared to the real deal.
Wow. Well, Sunny Williams is an astronaut. She's been a commander of the International Space Station. She has spent 322 days in space. She's featured in the movie The Mars Generation, which is airing this Sunday at the Woods Hole Film Festival. She'll also be speaking at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday as part of a panel discussion on science and storytelling. We've got tons of information about that at radioboston.org. Sunny Williams, what a pleasure it has been to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Meghna, thank you very much. It's great to talk to you, too.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.